ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn to 1 John again, that portion we were reading a little bit earlier. Let me say it is a delight to be here again. It's good to renew fellowship with you folks. Looking forward to these days of prayer. It's always a blessed time as we come together. We've made this an annual thing for our ministers in British Columbia to come together to pray for our churches and pray for the work in this year to come. Thank you for your prayers. It's always good to know that God's people are upholding us in prayer. We can pray for one another. It's a great privilege. Prayer is not only our duty, but it's a great privilege. And we come together today to worship the Lord who has done so much for us. 1 John chapter 1. Turn your attention to the verse 9 today. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What to do with your sin? With God's word open before us, let's just bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee now. We come to Thy word. We pray, Lord, that You would give us attentive ears and open hearts. Help us to hear from heaven this day. We pray, Lord, that You would bless the ministry of Your word. Come with power to our souls. We're thankful for the provision Christ has made for us. We're thankful that we come to Thee in the name of Christ. We're thankful for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. I ask, Lord, now that You would hear our cry. We are poor and needy. Think upon us, Lord. Think upon us according to Thy loving kindness and tender mercy. Work in our hearts. Draw us to Thyself. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our sin. Wash us and make us whole, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Apostle John in this place has been dealing with the basis of Christian fellowship. He also talks about a profession of faith. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He goes on from there to talk about the forgiveness of sins. The basis of fellowship with God, a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of sins. An understanding of the biblical concept of sin is so necessary to any consideration of forgiveness. The child of God will appreciate forgiveness only if he knows who has forgiven him and of what he has been forgiven. So as we come together today, the first thing that we must do is establish what sin is. The biblical concept, the biblical description of sin. What if I were to ask you about sin? What is sin? There are many different responses from people to that question. Some say that there's no such thing as sin at all. Others respond by saying sin is a breaking of the law. But what law? The law of the land or the law of God? Someone might say it is to wrong your neighbor. That is to sin. Some might say it's an evil act against society, against what society deems to be politically correct or acceptable or unacceptable. But is that all that sin is, or is it more than that? What does the Bible have to say about sin? The Scripture uses different terms to describe what sin is. In Psalm 32, in the opening verses of that psalm, the psalmist describes sin in a number of ways. He says, speaking of the happiness, the blessedness of the one whose sin is forgiven, he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." You see, in that place, he uses the word transgression. He speaks of sin, and he speaks of iniquity. That is the scriptural description of sin. Sin is transgression. Transgression points to rebellion. It's a breaking away from the lawful authority of God. It is to set yourself against God. King David, the writer of Psalm 51, states that ultimately our sin is against God. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." And as judge, God holds us personally responsible for our willful rebellion against Him, against His divine law. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 4 reads, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And because of sin, then, we are all under condemnation. But the psalmist also refers to sin as iniquity. That word means perverse. It carries the idea of being twisted or warped, rather than being upright or straight. We are naturally bent to sin. We have turned away from the Lord God. We have turned away from God's straight line of righteousness. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is missing the mark, missing God's mark, missing the standard of righteousness that He has set in His law, in His word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is a contradiction of God's holiness, a violation of His divine law. And the end of sin is always, always misery, despair, eternal death, destruction. Sin always ends in misery and separates men from God. Sin is transgression. It is rebellion against God. It is iniquity. It is turning to your own way, turning from God's way. Sin is missing God's mark. But what are we to do about our sin? Here in 1 John, we are told what to do with our sin. Some deny sin. You can deny its existence and presence, as some do. But that really is to be deceived by your own heart. We read here in 1 John 1 verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." You can deny sin, its existence and its presence, but that is to be deceived by your own heart. It is to deceive yourself. It is to deny God's truth. It is to make God a liar. What an insult that is to God. What a snub. God has stated plainly and clearly in His word, all have sinned, all without exception have sinned and continually fall short of His glory. And that falling short there in Romans 3:23, that denotes our sinful habit, our sinful actions. When men fall short of the glory of God, They do not value the name and the attributes of God. We have all sinned. And to say that we have not sinned is to make God a liar, and His truth is not in us. Really, for someone to say they have no sin proves that they do not know themselves. They do not know their own heart. They do not know God. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah tells us, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? To deny sin is to deceive yourself, to deny God's truth, and to make God a liar. What are you to do with your sin? You might attempt to cover your sin, as some do. But that attempt to cover and conceal sin is to be condemned by your own heart. Proverbs 28 and the verse 13 reads, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. How do men attempt to cover their sin? And maybe as I go through this, this is what you have been doing. You've been trying to conceal your sin from others, trying to conceal your sin from God, thinking all the while that God does not see, God does not know. But friend, you cannot hide from God. Men try to cover their sin by making excuses, by minimizing sin, and making it seem not as bad as it really is, trying to justify themselves, calling it nice names or shifting the blame to someone else. We can make excuses and try to cover our sin. Men try to cover their sin by practicing it in secret. That's the test. How are you? How do you live when no one else is around? Can you track your thoughts? What do you set your affections upon? When no one else is watching, when no one else is there to see, men practice sin in secret because men love darkness rather than light. It's an attempt to cover sin. Men try to cover their sin, furthermore, by pointing to their own self-righteousness. And we all can be guilty of this. "Well, you know, I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. They do this. I would never do that." And we compare ourselves to other people, and we come to the conclusion in our own minds that I'm okay. I'm not as bad as they say. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Yet the Bible says that we have all sinned. And in light of God's holy law, His word, His commandments, we stand condemned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Even our best attainments, our best works, are tainted by sin. And God's law slays all self-righteousness. It demonstrates our complete failure to obey, to comply, to conform to God's will. And you can try to ease your conscience by good works, but that is not dealing with your sin. The problem of sin remains. You can also attempt to cover your sin by just banishing it from your mind, at least attempting to banish it from your mind, purposefully letting it sit for a period of time, hoping that it will magically disappear it will simply be forgotten. You may try to banish it from your mind, but still the guilt and the shame of sin remains. Whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. And what is that attempt to cover and conceal your sin? That attempt to cover and conceal sin, first of all, it only adds to your misery. You will not know peace. That attempt to cover sin really is an admission to guilt. I mean, if you did nothing wrong, and if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about, right? But conscience accuses, and the effort to hide your faults only highlights your guilt. And in the light of God, in the light of His Word, all things are made manifest. They are seen as they really are. The darkness and the light are both alike to the Lord. There is no hiding from Him. To Him, Hebrews 4 tells us, to Him all things are naked and open. There is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. And you may deny that you're a sinner before God. You may attempt to hide your sin from God, but that will not help you get rid of your guilt. It's still there. Nothing is hidden from God, whether you deny it, whether you conceal it, whether you try to justify your actions. That does not change the fact that you are a guilty sinner before a holy and a just God. And you need to know His forgiveness. And John tells us here, it is only when we confess our sin and seek the Lord and come to Him for cleansing that we can know relief. It is not until we confess our sin unto God and seek cleansing through Jesus' blood that we can know this pardon and forgiveness of sin. What are you to do with your sin? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession of sin to God is the only answer to this problem of sin. And that means recognizing your own sinful condition. You must recognize that in yourself there is no remedy to right this wrong. The presentation of your own righteousness to God and all your good works, all the good works in the world, will not make atonement for sin. You need something more. The remedy is not in yourself. You need God to blot out your transgressions, to wipe the slate clean, to make you whole. In theological terms, you need to be justified. That is, to be reckoned or accounted righteous in the sight of God because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been put to your account. Jesus Christ having settled that account for us, being made sin for us, being made a curse for us, paying for our sin, paying the debt that we owed. The only way for this debt to be canceled is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we can know redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Christ died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Jesus Christ came to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the law of God which we had broken, and to offer Himself as a sacrifice to God for our sins. The only way then to know relief from that accusing conscience, from guilt and the shame of sin, is to confess your sin unto the Lord. And that's what John tells us here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Confession of sin brings relief. Confession of sin is the way to restoration. He restoreth the soul. You can know that relief from guilt and that release from sin's penalty and condemnation by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and with repentance. Repenting of your sin. God has said that a broken and a contrite spirit He will not despise. He will not turn you away. There is mercy with the Lord. He will not turn away those who come to Him for cleansing. He is faithful to His word. And we read here of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sinner's advocate. Chapter 2 and the verse 1, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Jesus Christ is the sinner's advocate. He has made provision for our souls. He is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He gave Himself as a sacrifice for us, that we would know remission of sins and be reconciled to God, redeemed by the precious blood. He has made provision for our souls. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledges our sin. He doesn't deny it. He is our advocate. And as our advocate, He concedes our guilt. He admits the allegations against us. He knows we have sinned. He knows we have broken God's law. Christ does not conceal that fact. And for us then to deny sin and attempt to cover and conceal our sin is to do something that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself does not do. He freely and fully admits our sin. He says, guilty. Yes, they are guilty. As He presents Himself to the Father, He comes to the Father and He fully acknowledges our sin. Guilty. Yes, they are. Deserving of punishment. Yes, they are. But I am here as their advocate to plead for them, to plead their case, to present the evidence that all the legal ramifications, the legal consequences that were against them have been paid. Christ presents Himself as our substitute, as our advocate. And what does He do? He presents His wounds to the Father. His hands and His feet, His pierced side, His scarred brow. And He says, "I have suffered for their sin. I took their place." He concedes our guilt. But as our advocate, He pleads our case. "I have died for them." Christ died that we would know forgiveness. We would know deliverance from sin's condemnation. Pardoned by faith in Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins. Confession of sin is not merely admission to sin, but it is agreeing with God. In fact, the word confess means to say the same things as, to speak the same thing, to take God's view of sin, to agree with God, hating sin, turning from sin, repenting of it. It is to deal with your sin upon divine terms and in God's way. And God is faithful, He says here, to forgive sins. It's good news. We are sinners. We stand condemned. But Christ has died, and God forgives sin. because Jesus Christ took our place. There is forgiveness, God does say, through the blood. Through the blood. And the word forgiveness there signifies ascending forth or ascending away. So when it says He forgives our sins, that is, He puts our sins behind His back, if you like. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. He casts them into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. So complete is God's forgiveness that when God forgives sin, He forgets the forgiven man's sin. And that non-remembrance of sin implies forgiveness. And divine forgiveness signifies that God will never seek any further atonement. The price has been paid. It will not be required again. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Hebrews 10, verse 18. Christ freely and fully forgives our sin. He is just in forgiving sinners. Sin having been punished and put away, Jesus Christ being made an offering for our sin. He stood in our place, bearing our just punishment, bearing God's wrath on sin. Because of that, God forgives sinners. It's of His mercy we are not consumed. He is faithful to forgive. And each child of God can say here today, He has not dealt with me according to my sins, nor rewarded me according to my iniquities. I deserve that punishment. I deserve eternal condemnation. But Christ has died. And God's forgiveness is irreversible. Those God has chosen and purposed to bless and forgive cannot be cursed. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's the plenteous redemption that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 130. There is forgiveness with God. Plenteous redemption, that He may be feared, that He may be worshipped. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary really, truly makes atonement for the soul. Peter tells us that Christ in His own body bare our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. It is by His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By faith in Christ, then, we can know that forgiveness, that cleansing, that pardon. Peter tells us that's the reason for His suffering. Christ died for our sin. He who knew no sin, who did no sin, in His mouth was no guile. He did always those things that please the Father. The perfect Lamb of God died in our place, that we would know that forgiveness. This is the remedy for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. The complete sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice to cleanse now and to continue to cleanse as we come to Him daily repenting of our sin. There is mercy with the Lord. We can trust Him. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deny God's truth. The truth is not in us. We make God a liar. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is hope. There is mercy with the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are you going to do with your sin? You can't deny it. You can't cover it. The only answer, confess it. There is a way back to God. A way back from the dark paths of sin. Calvary's cross is where you begin. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this day. Let's all bow in prayer. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the free access that we have to Thee this day. We thank Thee for the new and living way that Christ has opened up for us, that we can approach the Holy God of Heaven, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, it is our prayer today that those who know Thee not would recognize their own sinful condition and misery, turn to Christ, confess their sin. We pray, Lord, that there would be that repentance and that faith. Open eyes, open hearts, we pray. Lord, help us to lean always on Thee, to believe Thy word. May the word of God preached today be mixed with faith. And may we daily confess our sin unto Thee, that we would know that relief from the burden, that relief from shame and guilt, that we would know that restoration. Lord, we pray that if there be some one here who is walking afar off, a backslider in heart, who is miserable and full of his own ways, who has lost the joy of Thy salvation, we pray, Lord, that You would restore that soul. Create in them a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, make us each and every one to be a pure people who love Thee and serve Thee with the whole heart. Without Thee, severed from Christ, we are nothing. We pray, Lord, that You would be our portion this day. Bless this word to each and every heart. Grant us the help and continued ministry of the Holy Spirit, applying the word. Draw sinners to Yourself. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.